This is January 19, 2010, Mayapur, Chapter 15, by Rupita. So here we're seeing that that unlawful desire to control material nature is removed. That's the opposite. The end of the 15th chapter talks about the weakness of heart. The first weakness of heart is wanting to control material nature. If you think about it in terms of male and female, and maybe this isn't very understandable to those of you who are under 30, because the situation of males and females in modern society is a little peculiar. And if we talk about the natural relationship between men and women, that will seem very unpalatable if you're young. But the natural relationship between men and women is that men want to be the dominators. That's the natural relationship. Men find it exciting to dominate and to chase, and women find it exciting and thrilling to be dominated and to be chased, C-H-A-S-E-D. Mm-hmm. Women's nature is to set themselves up as bait. That's why women like to dress nicely. So they want to be captured. They don't want to be doing the capturing. They want to just stand there and be so attractive that everybody comes and falls at their feet. And they want some guy to carry them off on a white horse and drive them right into the sunset. So Krishna is the ultimate male. And he wants to chase and dominate and capture and carry off and woo the living entities. And the living entities are in their natural position when they enjoy being dominated. If you have a good man, being dominated is very pleasurable. So our Maya begins when we want to be the dominators. And when you want to be the dominator, what are you going to dominate? So material nature appears as feminine. And we take the role, whether we're in female bodies or male bodies, we take the role as conditioned souls of wanting to dominate, wanting to control material nature. That's our first weakness of heart, and that's what puts us under the control of the modes of material nature. If you don't like my analogy, I am sorry. It's interesting, when I was a teenager, they were making propaganda that men and women have the same mentality, that the difference in male and female mentality is only due to conditioning, and if you raise boys and girls the same, they'd have the same mentality. And now they've shown that that is absolutely not true, that there's different mentalities according to the hormones. Of course, that's a generalization. I know. All right. When you do devotional service, you start relishing your natural position of being dominated by Krishna. And Krishna's the nicest guy. You know, you might find a decent guy in this world, and those of you who are married, I hope you're married to nice guys. You know, you might find a nice guy who dominates you out of love and out of concern and out of respect, and where you enjoy leaning on him and depending on him. But you're not going to find any guy in this world who's perfect. Just not. You know, he's going to be, as Lakshmi Devi says, he's going to do something wrong. He's going to leave his dirty socks on the floor or something. Something. So we're very afraid of being what we naturally are, which is Prakriti. But Krishna's the nicest guy. And if you allow him to dominate, then it's very sweet. It's very sweet. He's not like a Hitler or a Stalin or a... He's very sweet. Actually, one of his characteristics is Dira Lalita, where he comes under the control of his girlfriends. But not entirely. Not entirely. So when we do devotional service, we start relishing that position. We see, this is really nice. It's really, really nice to surrender to Krishna. It's really, really nice to let Krishna dominate me, to let Krishna enjoy me. And thereby, we give up our desire to be a false enjoyer. And as soon as you give up the desire to be a false enjoyer, then there's no more need for the modes of material nature. We're talking about how to transcend the modes of material nature. We were comparing the modes of material nature to the lights showing a movie. So the only reason that the three colored lights showing a movie control you is that you want to watch the movie. You can stand up if you're sleeping. If you don't want to watch the movie, then the lights will not control you. Isn't that correct? Right? If some friend of yours is watching a movie and you just walk through the room but you're not interested in the movie, it won't control you. It will only control you if you're interested, if you're absorbed. So basically the soul is saying, I want to control material nature. And Krishna says, all right, you can only do that if you're an illusion, because that doesn't exist in reality. All right, so now you have to be an illusion. So by giving up that desire, then there's no more need for illusion. Then I can be in reality. Therefore, it's removed. Krishna puts you in illusion and Krishna takes you out of illusion, depending on your desire. Yes, that would be good. Maybe more than one. All right. These are the different parts of chapter 15. The banyan tree, reincarnation. No, you're not starting yet. Krishna the Maintainer and the Vedanta Sutra. This should be in your books. Here's our upside down banyan tree. Reflected. It's reflected on desire. It's all 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 desire. That's all it is. It's just desire. What we have is desire. Remember, what did Prabhupada say yesterday? The body is like a machine designed to fulfill desires. Body is like a machine designed to fulfill desires. So when we have a desire to dominate the material world, then we go in the upside down tree, where urdhva mulam, the roots are up. Adha shakam, the branches are down. Asanga shastrena, shastra means a weapon. Asanga, without attachment. The weapon of detachment. Dridha. Dridha means very hard. You can cut down this hard tree with the weapon of detachment. The Prabhupada says being upside down is very uncomfortable. So therefore we are very uncomfortable. You know, with my broken foot, so many people ask me, are you comfortable? And I said, and how can you be comfortable in a material body? We're always uncomfortable. But the main reason we're uncomfortable is we're out of our natural position. What's really making us uncomfortable is not the body, it's not the neighbor who's playing the music too loud, it's not that it's too cold, it's not that it's too hot. What's really making us uncomfortable is we're out of our natural position. Now, Prabhupada makes the point here that whatever exists here must exist in the spiritual world in reality. Right? All the relationships. You know, he was supposed to come to make sure that it was all on the screen. All right, we know what to do with this. We already know what to do with this. We can deal with this. There you go. All right. So there's all of the different rasas in this world, but they're all reflections of something real. There's the real form. Right? In this famous BBT painting. Such a nice painting, huh? All on desire. You guys remember from chapter 12 when Krishna gives... best thing is that you serve me with Love. And if you can't do that, you should do? If you can't serve me with love, you should do? What?
Duty.
What duty? Follow the rules. By the way, guys, you should all know this, okay? Yes? Ormila. Ormila is going to make a note that I'm going to ask you this tomorrow. Steps in chapter 12. Okay, first is serve me with love. If you can't do that, what are you supposed to do? Follow the rules of sadhana bhakti. And Krishna uses the word abhyas yoga. That means practice yoga. And since yoga means linking with love and devotion, he's saying you should practice loving. Interesting idea to practice loving. And what does he say the purpose of practice in yoga is? Desire. To develop ichha or desire. The whole purpose of everything we're doing, chanting our rounds, worshiping the deity, taking prasadam, sitting here in Mayapur, watching this PowerPoint, taking prasadam, taking your notes, right? Trying to stay awake, wondering when Ormila is going to be done so you could eat. The whole purpose of everything you're doing is to develop this desire. This desire. I want you to just love Krishna. I want you to serve Krishna. I no longer want to proclaim myself as the Lord. And he said, if you can't do that, just work for me. And if you can't do that, give in charity or practice knowledge, but better to give in charity. Okay, you should know that sequence. If you're going to get a Bhakti Shastri degree, you should know that sequence of the 12th chapter. It's such an important thing for preaching, for your own Krishna consciousness. So, the Asanga Shastrena, the Shastrena of detachment and knowledge. This material life is stupid and boring and useless. Material life means trying to be the controller. It doesn't mean whether you have money in the bank or you have a car or whether you have 2 saris or 10 saris. It means the mood of being the controller. The mood of being the master, the mood of being the Lord, the mood of I am going to manipulate and control material nature to enjoy. That is what one should be detached from and disgusted with. One should actually feel disgust at this. Ugh. I don't want to try to be the controller of material nature. Sangha Shastrena Dvira Chitva. So how do we become detached? We surrender to Krishna a little bit even, and you think, wow, that's nice. Right? Pooja was telling me she went to that kirtan with Jamuna yesterday, and it was so nice. So you just go to a one sweet kirtan and you say, well, that's nice. I like surrendering to Krishna. Why do I want to be a false enjoyer? And then so you surrender a little more and you think, well, that's really nice. Why do I want to be a false enjoyer?
I can't quite get this concept of being the controller of material nature. I don't see how I'm being trying to be in control.
Ask Krishna. Ask him to show you. And be willing to see what he shows you. Whatever it is, he'll show you. Got to be willing to see it, though. And go to the deities, whatever deity you're attached to. Say, please show me how I want to be the controller of material nature. And I'm willing to see whatever you show me, no matter how embarrassing it is. And he'll show you.
Can we control by keeping ourselves busy?
Oh, that's a kind of, yes, can be. I mean, busyness can be a symptom of bhava. The pure devotee doesn't want to waste a moment in Krishna's service. And busyness can be, you can have busyness in the 3 modes of nature and in transcendence. Can't you? Yeah, couldn't you? You could be really busy with your drug deals. You could be really busy selling drugs. You could be really busy, selling cars. Some people definitely are busy as an intoxicant. There are definitely people who use busyness as an intoxicant. Do you know what I mean? They keep so busy that they never have a chance to think, who am I? What is the purpose of life? Where am I going? How am I behaving? They just keep busy, 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 so they don't have a chance to think. You could be busy in cultivating knowledge and busy in meditation, or you could be busy in Krishna's service. So it depends on what mode it's in. Busyness by itself is not intrinsically good or bad. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or is it Bhaktisiddhanta? I think it's Bhaktivinoda, talks about whether you like bustle or solitude. And those who like bustle are the preachers. But even the devotee who just does quiet bhajan is very busy for Krishna. They're not running around kind of busy. The people I know who chant 64 rounds a day and read Shastra for 6 hours a day and just take care of their deities and sit in their room all the time, they're also very busy, but they're not busy in like an office worker is busy. Different. It's a different kind, but they're still busy. So the translation of that verse, how do you surrender to Krishna? This is one of my favorite verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Love this one. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. So this is 15.5. Oh, I'm sorry. We have another one of those, huh? Sorry about that. That's okay. Still don't get it. Oh, sorry. He did tell me he'd come and adjust. At least it's working, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, we'll celebrate that it's working.
It's not, it hasn't worked this long in a long time.
Shh.
No, I'm saying that don't jinx it. Krishna's on your side, though.
You know, he was on my side yesterday, too, when it didn't work. He's always on our side. Okay, so Prabhupada in this purport goes through the steps. First thing you do is you give up the idea of importance. I'm such an important person. I'm teaching 20 people here in the Bhakti Shastra class. I'm very important. No, we all think I'm important. Isn't it? We're so focused on ourselves, what I'm wearing, what I'm doing, where I'm going. We talk so much about ourselves, it's so ridiculous. Prabhupada says such a sweet thing in this purport. I mean, please read, if you didn't read 15.5 purport, go read it. What a nice purport. You know, we come here, we stay here for a few moments, we do a few things, and then we die, and we think, I'm so important. Shiva Maharaj was visiting Bhaktivedanta Manor after one devotee had left his body, what they do at the manor is when somebody dies, they put a picture of them on Prabhupada's Vyasasan, on the stairs leading up to the Vyasasan. And he said, someday each of us is just going to be a picture sitting here on the Vyasasan for a week. And then we forget. Life goes on. Even some of the leaders of our movement who've left, whose samadhis are here, life's going on, isn't it? We all think, I'm so important, without me what would happen? This wouldn't get done, and that wouldn't get done, and this thing, and life goes on. Burjan Prabhu has calculated that according to universal time, our whole life is 8 billionths of a second. And we're thinking, we're so important. This is a question I ask a lot. So how many of you here know the names of your great-great-grandparents? Anybody here know the names of your great-great-grandparents? That means that our great-great-grandchildren will not know our names. So that's in our own family. Yeah. Just imagine, your own family. After a few generations, they won't even know our name. What to speak of what we did, or what we were like, or what we felt, or anything. They won't even know our names. But we think, I'm so important. Then false proprietorship. Once you realize I'm not really very important. Of course, we are very important to
Krishna.
Sanatana Goswami says that everyone in the spiritual world thinks they're Krishna's favorite, and each of them is. So to Krishna, we're his favorite, and we're very special, and we're very important. Yes?
So this desire to feel like you, to want to feel like you're needed, it's like seems like something that's a lot of women that I've talked to have. Like, you want to feel like people need you.
Oh, men want to feel needed too, my dear.
So is that a good thing, or does that have to do with that's because of your...
If you want to feel that it's really giving pain to Krishna, that I'm not there doing my eternal service, and he's missing me. That's a wonderful thing. That's the real part. That's the real place. That's why Radharani wants Krishna to come back to Vrindavan, because she's thinking Krishna's the happiest in Vrindavan. If he's out of Vrindavan, he can't really feel happy. I want him to be here where he can be happy. Well, Krishna can't really feel happy unless each of us is doing our little service. He misses us. He can do the service himself. Like Pooja's helping me with some stuff. Of course, when my foot was in a cast, I couldn't actually do it myself. But normally I could do it myself, but I'm happy that she's doing it. So Krishna can do everything himself, but he likes relationships. So that to want to be important to Krishna, to want to be recognized. Prabhupada says if you don't want to be recognized by Krishna, your life is condemned. Krishna book, Akura going to Vrindavan. He says it other places too, but that's one. This desire for recognition, for importance, for significance, to feel needed, it all has its place. But Krishna did, because Krishna already thinks you're important and he already misses you. But to want it on the bodily platform in the world, ooh, that's just misery. One day everybody will think you're important and you're needed, and the next day they won't. And if your happiness is dependent on that, you're going to suffer. And you're going to hate the people. You're going to be angry at the people, you know, who don't appreciate what you're doing. People even get angry at their gurus like that. Look for that in Krishna. Don't look for that in another jiva, even an elevated jiva. Look for it in Krishna. Don't look for it in your husband and your children and your spiritual master even. Look for it in Krishna. Look for it in Krishna. Look for it in Krishna. False proprietorship. I'm very important. Once you give that up, then you can give up the idea that I own this body, I own this house, I own this car, I own these children. False identification with family, society, and nation. It's my family and my country. Then you can get... Oh, my God. I have to remember to turn this off. Then you can get spiritual knowledge, and then you can get free from duality. Duality means that I hate things or like things depending on how much they please my senses. I see things as good or bad depending on how, I see people as good or bad depending on how much they free me. Then I can get full knowledge, and then I can actually have full surrender to Krishna. Remember that surrender is also in increments. You can surrender a little, you can surrender a lot. Oh, I love this quote. One has to cultivate knowledge of what is actually his own and what is actually not his own. What's our own? What belongs to us?
Krishna
belongs to us?
No.
Sort of. Radharani thinks Krishna belongs to her. Sort of. What belongs to us?
Our desires.
Our free will. That's ours. Get to keep that. You can control it. You can keep it. Can you keep anything else? Can you keep your body?
No.
Can you keep your learning?
No.
Any of your possessions?
Can you just clarify, because when we're on this particular mood, our desires, they're influenced by this mood.
Yes, that's true. But we're choosing to be in that mode. It's like if a person chooses to drink alcohol, the alcohol then influences their desires. I think like 80% of crimes are performed by intoxicated people. So when people are intoxicated, they're much more likely to commit a crime than when they're not intoxicated. In other words, the intoxicant changes their desires. That if they're sober, they're not going to steal, they're not going to kill. Their desire to steal or to kill is coming from the intoxicant. But they desire to take the intoxicant. Or again, if you're reading a book or you're watching a movie, you choose to read the book. As you read the book, it affects your desires. You're then thinking, oh, I hope she gets the prize. Right? You start desiring things in relationship to the book, but you desire to read the book. So yes, once you come under the modes of nature are controlling your desires. Therefore, you have to desire to get out of the modes of nature. Yes?
What about free will?
Free will is yours.
It's ours too, so it's desire
yours.
And free will?
Desires are sort of the manifestation of free will.
Okay.
Sort of the symptom of free will. What would be the use of free will if you couldn't have any desires? That wouldn't make any sense. And I don't think there's anything else that's ours. I think I said this here. Yeah, with the field. How you know something's not yours is that somebody else can take it away whenever they want. Without warning, without explanation, they can just take it. It must be theirs. Correct? So, other than this, everything else can be taken away. But this is ours. And the translation of that. Krishna is then talking about where he comes from. Now, instead of just talking about the bad things, he's talking about the good things. By the way, that's another personality trait. Some people are motivated more by negative, and some people are motivated more by positive. So I'm sure that some of us, the way we motivate ourselves is by thinking, oh, I did that right. Okay, I got that. That's good. And others, we try to motivate ourselves by saying, oh, that was dumb. That was really stupid. Why'd you do that wrong? And we're generally a mix. If you're extreme, one or the other, you're really in trouble. Most extremes are in trouble. But we also have our preferences. So some people prefer to be motivated by what they don't want, and some people tend to be motivated more by what they do want. And you find the Shastra has things for both. So Krishna is saying what's wrong with the material world, and he's saying what's right about the spiritual world. However, the basis of our philosophy is that mostly we want to deal with the spiritual. Our philosophy is that the way we will get everything we want is to focus on our positive attachment to Krishna rather than our negative detachment from Maya. That our negative detachment from Maya will come naturally if we become attached to Krishna. And if we just focus on, oh, I'm so attached, oh, I have this problem, oh, I have that problem, oh, I have that problem, oh, I have that problem. Then you become that. That's all. You actually increase your problems because that's all you're meditating on. All right, so spiritual world, no sun, no moon, no fire, no electricity. It's self. You like it? Oh, it's too bad it's so light in here. Anyway, we could turn off that other light maybe. We don't need that. That's a little better. Prabhupada said, why not live in a place where you don't have to worry about the electric bill?
Well,
Prabhupada's preaching is so nice, isn't it? Such a wonderful way of presenting everything.
It's always the right temperature.
Always the right temperature. You know, there are the six seasonal forests in Goloka Vrindavan. So there is a winter forest, but it's not like that. This is one of my favorite quotes. One should be captivated by this information. Love that quote. Years ago, I visited Trinidad, and everybody there wanted to go to New York. And what happens when you go to New York? Everybody wants to go to the Caribbean, right? People become captivated. When I was, two of my kids, soon to be one of my kids, lives in Hawaii. And I was traveling from Hawaii to New Zealand. And there, while I was waiting in line to enter the gate, there was one couple there. And I said, oh, why are you going to New Zealand? They said, we've heard it's very beautiful. I said, well, it's not as beautiful as Hawaii. Sorry, there's an error. Are there any Kiwis here that I just insulted? Okay. New Zealand is beautiful, for those listening to the recording. But Hawaii is more beautiful. And why are they going? They became captivated. They read something about New Zealand, they saw a picture, they saw a video, they became captivated. So let's become captivated by the descriptions of the spiritual world about devotional service. That's what we should be meditating on as much as possible. Another one of my favorite quotes, got a bunch of them in this PowerPoint. This is our need. We want to be free. We want to be in the light and the space. We don't want to be shut up here in this dark world where just moving from one place to another is difficult. The residents of the spiritual world can go wherever they want. They can do whatever they want. Whatever they desire is fulfilled. Wherever they want to go is fulfilled. Everything, whatever they want. That's what we want. That's our need, Prabhupada says. It's a spiritual need. Need means something that without it, you're miserable. Without food, you're miserable. Without air, you're miserable. Without sleep, you're miserable. That's a need. The soul has needs. We need freedom. Unfortunately, we're struggling with our six senses and our mind. You like this picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, my good friend Madhava Priya drew this picture. She's doing a lot of the art for my curriculum project. She has another picture like this, which is not in the slideshow, of transcendentally engaged senses. So unfortunately, even though we need freedom and we belong to the spiritual world, we're struggling with our senses. So this is from 15:7, very important verse in Bhagavad Gita, that we're part of Krishna, but it's not a part like a broken part. So here I have the Ishopanishad verse, that although Krishna is complete, we're all complete, and that doesn't mean he's broken. It's not like you and me and you and me and me. All together we become God. You know, like some of you took your papers and divided it into four pieces, then you put it back together. So it's not like that. Krishna is complete and we're complete. Something like parents and children. I'm complete and my kids are complete. I didn't lose a finger for each kid or something. Very, 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 very important purport here for preaching. We're eternal living beings. Just a wonderful purport. Another purport that if you didn't read it, you were supposed to read it. But if you didn't read it, please go back and read it. 15:7. Just anyway, you may not agree with me, but I think it's one of the nicest purports in Prabhupada's books. Okay.
Wow.
You like that picture? That's another one of the artists who are doing work for our curriculum books. Actually, what's going on in the background here while I'm teaching this class is I'm downloading a file from these artists of pictures for another one of our books.
They have mangas.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. So this is from the purport. This is from that wonderful purport, 15:7. When a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. He can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. Wouldn't that be nice? We should be captivated by this. I want to see Krishna face to face. Eventually, we should become so captivated by it that we're willing to pay any price. We want to become so captivated that we're willing to pay any price. And the only real price is facing the false ego and admitting it and getting rid of it and being willing to get rid of it. That's really the only price. Okay, was that? Yeah, that was an exercise that I was going to do, but I'm not. Okay. So how do we determine which body? It's formed around our mind's desires. There's several verses dealing with transmigration. You ever heard of people who can see ghosts? And what do ghosts look like?
Transparent.
It's like a shadow. Well, what do they look like? If there's a ghost of Mrs. Smith, what does it look like?
It looks like Mrs. Smith.
Yeah. I remember reading one time this woman saw a ghost of someone she had known who had died. And this woman had always had perfect hair, not like me. this Northern European hair. But her friend had always had hair that was just perfectly arranged. And the ghost also had looked like it had hair that was perfectly arranged. So our thoughts and our emotions and our desires have a form. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our subtle body has a form. And we have this gross body because it fits over the subtle body. With a particular way in which we want to dominate material nature and that we deserve by our karma, and therefore we get a particular body. Just like you get clothes that fit your body. You like those pictures? Cool, huh? Isn't that amazing? I have two tree pictures like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have another tree picture that's similar. And I have a whole bunch of animal look-alike pictures, too. People are really proud of that. They enter into contests. I look a lot like my dog, you know. All right, this is going to form the basis for our exercise that will... Oh, you can't see that very well, can you? Can you see there's Krishna in the eye?
Yes.
A little bit. Who? Krishna. Can you sort of see Krishna there in the eye?
Yes.
Okay, it looks so much better. You know, look at this. Can you see it better there? It's a really nice picture. I did not create that. I just stole it. So this is going to form the basis for our philosophical speculation exercise that we'll start off tomorrow with. How do we see Krishna? We were talking yesterday about dedicating every moment to Krishna. Then you got to see Krishna at every moment. You say, but I don't see Krishna at every moment. Well, yes, you do. He's the light of the sun. He's the light of the moon. He's the heat of fire. There are a couple more pictures from our books. That's another picture from our books. That's another picture from our books. Krishna is saying that he's a... I was going to use this in the books, but I switched artists for this book. So Krishna is saying that he's holding the planets in their orbits, just like a fistful of dust holding in your hand. And if I had a good internet connection in my room, I would have gotten a fist with dust, but I don't. So I use this. The fact that the earth is staying together, the fact that we're attracted to it, that's Krishna. The fire of digestion. These are all from the books, from our children's books. Fire of digestion. That's Krishna. We're all just about to eat, right? So one of your homework assignments is that as you're eating, meditate on the fact that Krishna is the fire of digestion. So we're going to do this tomorrow. And Matasmatir Gyanamapohanam Charm in the Heart. Some more pictures from my books. Oh, you can't see that one very well. Well, that. Be nice if we could just move the projector anyway. We'll just be grateful for what we have. Okay, now you can see it. There you go. So whether you have forgetfulness or remembrance, that's coming from Krishna. Whenever you remember something, that's Krishna. Whenever you know something, that's Krishna. Whenever you forget something, that's Krishna. My children and grandchildren use this verse as their finding things verse. This has become our family finding things verse. I don't know where I put my beads. Okay, chant 15:15. Krishna, give me knowledge and remembrance. So this is... It's a very nice quote. We always remember that Krishna is giving us the knowledge and remembrance Krishna's giving me the ability to speak. Krishna's giving me the ability to think. And Prabhupada's saying here, if you acknowledge that, then you're free from the four defects. Krishna also in this verse is saying that he's Vedanta Krit. And I thought I had it here, but I'm going to just say it because I don't see it here. Also in this particular purport, and I might have it in another slide. In this purport, Prabhupada says that Krishna is supplying everything for the conditioned soul. Therefore, God is all good and God is all merciful. Another one of my really favorite quotes. God is all good, God is all merciful. If we really believe that Krishna is all good and all merciful, then it's very easy to surrender. It's very hard to surrender to somebody unless you trust them. Like I was saying, you can ask Krishna where, how you're attached, but you can only do that if you trust. You know, you don't want to go up to an enemy and say, tell me what my problems are. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to reveal their problems to an enemy. So you have to trust that God is all good and God is all merciful. Oh, here we go. I knew I had the quote here. I should just change the order of the slides. Supplier and digester of foodstuff, witness, giver of knowledge, teacher of Bhagavad Gita. So he gives everything for conditioned life and everything for spiritual life. Then Krishna gives the essence of the Vedas. He says, I'm the knower of the Vedas. Okay, you know the Vedas. What's the essence? Three verses. Two types of living entities, infallible and the fallible. These are just the straight verses. Besides these two, there's God. And I'm God. Pretty simple. There's fallible, there's infallible. Beyond those, there's God, and that's me, Krishna says. Those are your three verses. Important part of this chapter to remember. And if you know that, you know everything. Knowing everything doesn't mean you know how to change a bicycle tire. It means you know the essence of everything. You know the purpose of everything. You understand the essence of everything. You know the purpose of all of the scriptures. And if you know everything, naturally you'll serve Krishna. If you know, wow, Krishna is my best friend. He's all good. He's all merciful. He's the most powerful. Then naturally you'll surrender to him. And this verse 15:19 is very similar to 10:8. And we say the weakness of heart, which we discussed before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this, and Prabhupada's quoting it in the purport, is the desire to lord it over the world. Then the second weakness of heart is the feeling that I am the owner, but that comes from the desire to lord it over the world. That's the essential thing, this envy of Krishna. Why do you have to be the Lord? Why can't it be me? Like one of my grandsons once said to my son, why do you always have to be in charge? Why don't I get a turn? No, the children are, they're envious of the parents' power. Women are often envious of their husband's power. The employees are often envious of the employer's power. We find in ISKCON, people are often very critical of management. You notice that? Huh? This envy of anybody who appears to have any domination over us or any power over us comes from our envy of Krishna. All right, we're not going to do that. Okay. Sorry. The reason that's happening is because I'm downloading the pictures from my books, and the reason I'm doing that during class is because the internet is so bad here that if I don't do it when I'm teaching, I won't get it, because it's taking me 3 days to download what in the West it would take me a half an hour to do. So I'm really sorry. Usually if I'm giving a PowerPoint, I make sure my internet's off so that that doesn't happen, but I can't do that. All right. We are done. You can turn on the lights. So for tomorrow, please read chapter 16, the divine and the demoniac nature. I will ask you those steps from chapter 12. I know I'm not teaching chapter 12, but that's all right. Just surrender to me with love. If you can't do that, do Abhyas Yoga to develop Ichha. If you can't do that, just work for me. If you can't do that, give up the results of your work. And we will start off tomorrow with our philosophical speculation exercise, which will be bringing together chapter 14 and 15. If you want to think about that tonight, what we're going to be doing is meditating on some, because Krishna said he's the light of the sun and the moon and the fire, right? So sun, moon, fire, they all have heat and light, correct? So did any of you read my article in Bhakti Godhead about fire? Good. If you want to cheat, you can find that issue and read it. It's recent. It's recent. Maybe it was September, October? I don't know, it was recent. Recent issue. On fire. You don't get back to Godhead's here. Well, that's good, because then you'd all be cheating. But if you want to read it, I want you. What we're going to be doing is analyzing the qualities of light, the qualities of heat, and the qualities of fire, and thinking how those remind us of Krishna's qualities, or Krishna's pastimes, or Krishna's opulences. So we're going to be philosophically speculating how Krishna is heat, light, and fire. We're going to see how the heat and light and fire that's always around us can act as what's called an Udipan. Do you all remember Udipan from Nectar Devotion? How they can act as an Udipan or stimulus for us to think about Krishna and fall in love with him. And which will really help us to be able to dedicate every moment to Krishna and stop being a fruitive worker. So it'll pull together the modes and philosophical speculation and chapter 15 and surrender and all these stuff that we've been talking about. All right? Okay. Thank you very much. Oh, wait. We do have one last order of business very, very quick. What we're going to do with the festival days. Okay. I want you to tell me what you want. Not what you think other people want or what you think you're supposed to want. Who? We have two festival days. One is this week on Friday. One is next week on Thursday. Advaitacharya's appearance this Friday. Lord Nityananda's appearance a week from Thursday. Okay. I gave three choices. I said we could compress two classes into one and skip a day of class. We could skip a day of class and have class on the weekend. Or we can have class on that day, but in the afternoon. Or another choice. Does anyone have a fourth choice before we vote? Has anyone thought of a fourth choice? Yes.
Maybe have two classes on one day.
Okay. All right. That's a fourth choice. How does she feel when she makes this suggestion? You go, eh. Okay. That's a fourth choice. Two classes on one day. Anything? Any other fifth choices?
Weekend.
Okay. Wait, we're not ready to vote yet. First, do we have a fifth option?
Weekend.
That's not a fifth option. That's already one of the choices. Okay.
So nice to be able to walk somewhat. Okay, we have compressed. Two in one day. Afternoon of that day. And weekend.
Can we have different for Advaitacharya appearance day because for Nityananda?
Okay! Sure.
Because for Nityananda Tradition, for sure it will be whole day.
I already agree.
And the
I already said yes.
Sorry.
So you don't have to keep convincing me. I'm already convinced. I've done that too. I keep trying to convince people after they're already convinced. I don't know. And people look at me and say, I've already agreed. Okay, this one. will be for Nittai.
Afternoon
would mean we probably go from 3 to 6. That way it'd be afternoon, the whole program would be over.
But that's impractical because some of us has
you can vote.
Access.
You can vote. Then you don't get to vote?
I'm looking for Sunday.
For both of them?
For weekends?
You want a weekend. Okay. You can go, but then you won't know what we choose until tomorrow.
We'll go.
Okay, that's fine. We'll tell you. Okay. Advaita Acharya, compress two classes into one. No! We would just cover it faster. We would cover less. We would cover less material when we go through the material faster. Like yesterday, we did two chapters in one day. It was an intense, for me, as a teacher, it was an intense day yesterday. Because I was doing what I would have liked to have done in two classes in one day. So, but we can do that. As I said, I have taught the whole Bhagavad Gita in an hour. Several times. So, that's possible. Okay, Nityananda's appearance day. Compressed. Anybody? Voting. Okay. You also? Okay, two. Okay. You must have a better attendance. No, it'll be the same amount of time for classes. Compressed means compressed, like a zip file. Oh, is that?
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Okay. Two in one day would be at least, would be 4 or 5 hours in one day. Yeah. That would be a morning class. We do a morning class and an afternoon. We skip one day, and then we do a morning class and an afternoon. Anybody want two full classes in one day for Advaita? Okay? Anybody want two full classes in one day for Nityananda? Okay. Alright. Advaita Acharya, we do a class in the afternoon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When are we getting over? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Okay. Afternoon for Lord Nityananda.
Didn't do the weekend.
Yes, you can only vote for one, guys. One.
You already voted.
No, this is for Lord Nityananda. This is for Lord Nityananda. Afternoon for Lord Nityananda. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's going to be a democracy. If you have a choice. It's either democracy or I make the decision, and I'd rather be a democracy. Okay. Or we can sit around for an hour and reach a consensus. Okay. I don't want to do that. Advaita Acharya weekend. One hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Pretty close. Nityananda weekend. Okay. Definitely. Okay. Okay, now the question here. Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Who wants Saturday? Okay, Saturday. Okay. You all happy with that?
But it's Saturday after the festival, right? On the second week.
Yes. So, and I'll tell you this again tomorrow. Oh, I left this on. Huh?